Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom, everyone. This is another opportunity for us to reach out to you and message for those of you that are in Beth Hashem, as well as for those of you that may be hearing this message for the first time. My name, of course, is Rabbi John Atkins, and welcome to our ATS message. And this is live over the internet through Blog Talk Radio. My assistant is Evangelist Tanita. And before we get started, Evangelist Tanita, if you could go ahead and play the Before Torah Study blessing. And what we'll be doing is we'll be doing the blessing before and blessing after the actual message, or after the actual study itself, okay?
Before Torah Study Blessing. Baruch Ata Yehuah Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Keshanu B'Mistatav, B'Tzvianu La'asok B'Devrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yahuwah, our Yah, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Eres bendecido, Yahuwah nuestro Dios, Rey del universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó aborrecernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Hallelujah. And most of you know, and I'm just going to say this for those who may have not heard this for the first time, that we engross ourselves in the words of the Torah for one specific reason, and that is for relationship. In other words, in order to have the perfect, according to his standards, according to our Heavenly Father's standards, his standard of what a pure, holy relationship is, not a dysfunctional relationship, but a holy, purposeful relationship. All right. So, Evangelist Tanita, if you could do a few things for us. First of all, I'm going to go ahead and ask for the presence of the rock. And then after that, if you could give us a recap. Now, this is something for those of you that have never heard this or seen this in our radio blog that we used to do. This was something that we did often, and it was extremely helpful for our viewers because they were able to get an understanding of what we had talked about and discussed and get some of the talking points and be able to match that with their notes. And if there were anything that they missed in their notes, then they could go ahead and annotate that at that time. So I'm going to pray first, and then right after that, I'll pass it to you. Thanks to me. Father, right now, in the name of Yahushua, first of all, we thank you for who you are, and we recognize who you are. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives right now and how you're causing even the adversities of evil to cause us to focus, cause us to realign for those of us that have gotten out of alignment of the priorities of your word and your relationship. Now we're forced to realign our thoughts, our actions, and our desired accomplishments, and to make sure that those accomplishments are in the perfect will and right standing with you. So, Father, we, as we go through this study, we ask you to begin to point out, by way of your rock, point out the areas in our lives and our actions that are not like you, so that we can walk circumspect according to your standards of that, and so that we may be pleasing and our actions and our words align perfectly with your Torah and with your desired relationship. We ask that your Ruach HaKodesh come and envelop this time. This airtime is yours. It's not the enemy's. It's not the devil's. This airtime is yours. And we submit that to you. We allow you to begin to permeate our minds and allow not the spirit of fear to have authority over our thought life. We come against chaos, and we allow your peace to begin to reside in the areas where chaos would try to rule and reign in our hearts and in our minds. We cast you out right now in the name of Yahushua. You have no authority here. You have no authority here. And we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. All right, Evangelist Tanita, if, at this time, if you could give a comprehensive summary of where we are up to now.
Yes, sir. Thank you all. So, Rabbi, to recap, the show last week was going out with joy and be led forth with peace. The scripture teaching was based out of Isaiah chapter 55, verse 12. And the two Hebraic words that Rabbi was coming from was dealing with Yatzah, and that's H-33-18, to go out, and Yabal, that is H-29-86, to bring. To become, to know, to break forth, break through with joy. And this is about, like he said, to go out with joy and to be led forth with peace. It is by joy. The joy of the Lord is more of the spiritual that we're concentrating on to bring forth, and not the happy thoughts of joy. The joy that the Father says you're looking to Him for Him to bring to you. So Rabbi gave an example of King David and how in one of the Psalms he was having a pity party, and he was pretty much thinking about all of his problems. But then when he began to focus on Yah, the joy of the Lord was his strength. The joy exploded in him. And this is what Rabbi is telling us, to not think about the circumstances of what the world is going through. And he's also referred to it as the land of Egypt, to think about Yah, to put our focus on Yah so that we can have joy in the midst of chaos. And he also stated, in the history of this world, we have not had a Passover mandate like it is today. As you know, he's discussed several times that we're coming up on the season of Passover. He pointed out specific dates, just so you know that biblically we go by the slither of the moon. And the first day of the month was March the 24th in the evening, as he said. And so note that the Passover this year will be April the 7th in the evening going into the 8th. And so as he said, even though we have this COVID-19 and it's destructive in both the normal and economic life, Yah is using it to let the angel of death pass over us if we are obedient to the instructions of staying in our home. This is a global manifestation, and he said it several times that this is a macro. Another thing to mention is God is a parent, and a parent will not conform to what you want, but it's our obedience to what he is looking for. Yah is desiring relationships. It's about us following his ethics and his protocols. If you remember, Rabbi also referred to verses 7 and 8 in Isaiah 55, and it talks about his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts, for his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. It is our attitude that makes us fail and not have his thoughts. But when we change, we will have his peace when we surrender all. Sometimes we cry out for peace, and Yah will hear us as we become more obedient. And then we're not in Egypt, but we become the land of Goshen. God is sovereign. So remember, it's about this is his sovereign move. We are approaching the last days. He also referenced Revelation chapter 6. For those of you who want to understand why Rabbi saying this, it's in preparation for the bride. Are you bride ready? He also gave an example in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, that there were 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. That was a time of preparation. Only half of the group made it. In order for us to be ready, we must maintain the requirements. One of the requirements, especially now, is keeping the feast. It's very important that in this biblical year that we both observe the feast and stay obedient to staying at home, inside. There is a spiritual as well as a physical danger. The bride of Christ, we must submit ourselves to the word of Torah. He also referenced Yabal again. To be led in peace, and shalom is peace. In order to get to the other side, like the children of Israel when they were crossing over the Red Sea, this is our season of crossing over to get to the other side. And as he stated, the things that are in us that we need to resolve, to get rid of, to submit to Yah, so that when we go to the other side, we will walk in peace and we will not be like the children of Israel and be disobedient and bring a curse upon ourselves. Well, we won't walk into our promise. So I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi John.
Amen. That was extremely well done. Let's pick it up there to cross over to the other side. In reference to that, we want to look at Mark chapter 4, and if you can get this for us, Evander Sunita, both in the King James and in the Amplified this time. And this is our reference scripture up. It's Mark chapter 4, verses 30 through 40. Mark chapter 4, verses 30 through 40. And this is in reference to get you thematically ready to understand this so that you too, so that I and we all can walk over or cross over to the other side. There is a crossover transitional period that is happening this year. This year, we stepped into the macro manifestation of God's presence. Because this particular disease is making, and we said this before, but it needs to be so reiterated in your hearts and minds that you get it. We are mandated to stay indoors. This is not happenstance, because within 3 days, we will have the actual Pesach or Passover. Within that time period, beloved, I strongly stress that you and your family stay indoors. I know it may be a situation of cabin fever over top of the coronavirus, but that is one day that you want to make sure that you be as obedient as you possibly can to the words of our Heavenly Father. There will be a place and a time as we begin to get further and further and go further and further into this year where you'll begin to realize, like most of us who have had a true father figure in our life, that the Father, there's a time and a place when the Father is not playing around, when the Father is very, very serious about what he has said, so that a stern discipline awaits those who desire to be disobedient. In that same scenario, I am sensing very strongly that you will see, that we all will see, as the years begin to, and the days of the years begin to manifest, a very strong, stern discipline, not by the devil, but by our Heavenly Father, because we're in the macro. Time, as we know it, is running so short that if we're not careful, we won't even have time to repent of our actions. And that's a scary thought. Evangelist Tanita, if you could real quickly, if you could go ahead and start verse 30. And before you start, I want everybody to know who may not be familiar with this particular passage, but I reference it quite often in times like this. This is a passage where Yeshua was teaching the multitude, and more specifically, he was imparting, he was teaching the multitude, but he was imparting wisdom in his disciples. That's why he would pull his disciples over to the side and he would make sure that they totally understood the aspect of the parable that he was sharing. Now, the reason why this is important is because this is a template for us. When the Father imparts faith into us, it's always in every single incident. When you begin to see faith or sense faith leaping in your heart and in your minds, and you begin to connect with God's purpose and God's plan and what he wants to do, positive in you is for utilizing and manifesting that purpose that he has for you. Okay? So that is the reason why what you'll see as you begin to read, that Yeshua was very, very adamant. He was very precise. He was meticulous, if you will, with making sure that the disciples, not the multitude, he taught them. But his disciples, he wanted to make sure that they understood the application of the parable so that faith would be infused in their hearts and minds for one purpose only. And in this particular case, that purpose was to cross over to the other side. In other words, to connect their faith with his word. And remember, his word comes from Yahuwah. So from our Heavenly Father is where his word comes from. Okay? So with his word coming from there, we need to make sure that there are other parables that Yeshua has spoken and said that the moment that the word is spoken or the seed is planted, okay, or thrown onto the ground, is when the birds come, okay? In other words, when the evil one immediately tries to come to snatch the word from your mind before it gets into your heart. And the reason for that is because once it germinates, once you connect and understand and begin to apply, there's nothing that the adversary can do with the relationship that you have now bonded with our Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. Satan knows that. So that's why he quickly comes in, okay? He quickly comes in. As soon as he knows that the word has been released, he quickly comes in to try to take that word from me. Now, that word is always connected to the purpose of what God has for you. Always. And that word brings with it the faith that when you engage will help by way of the Ruach, by way of the Holy Spirit, to propel you into your purpose with him. Always. Evangelist Tanif, if you go ahead and read now.
Yes, sir. Okay. So this is Mark chapter 4. Verses 30 through 40, and this is the King James Version I'm reading. And he said,
yes, ma'am.
How shall we picture the kingdom of God, Yah? Or what parable shall we use to illustrate and explain it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, even though it is smaller than all the other seeds that are sown on the soil, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden herbs, and it puts out large branches so that the birds of the sky are able to make nests and live under its shade. With many such parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, and they were able to hear and understand it. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. He did, however, explain everything privately to his disciples. On that same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee."
Okay, yes. You can stop right there. Okay, mm-hmm. And we'll pick it back up. But I want to make sure that you guys get these rich nuggets because they are imperative for us today in our age, in our time period, because things are happening. Catastrophic things are happening. Many will say that, well, no, this is not the seals. This is not the seals that are talked about in Revelation chapter 6, 1 through 17. This is not them. you know? And of course, the chapter 6, 1 through 17, those are the six seals. But there are, of course, there's a seventh seal, and that one is opened in chapter 8. But they'll say that these are not the seals for the most part, and the reason for that is because if they are, Evangelist Tanita, you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Do you hear me?
Yes, sir.
If they are, then that means that the pre-trib rapture theory is flawed.
Amen.
That would mean that that particular theory is a doctrine of demons.
Yes.
Evangelist Anita, I think it's probably the last week or the week after. I believe it's last week. In the last 7 to 8 days,
mm-hmm.
I had a pastor's wife call me.
Mm-hmm.
And she knew, well, she called Pastor Martha. She's a real good friend of both Pastor Martha and us, but their family is, and he is, and I'm not going to mention the name. But the person was extremely distraught. You know why, Evangelist Anita?
Yes. Yes, sir. Not wanting to, feeling like they had missed it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. She felt like she had missed the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things she knew about us and about Pastor Martha is that we are Hebraic in nature, and we read the Word of God, New Testament and Old, from a Hebraic point of view. So she realized that her point of view, according to this coronavirus, was flawed. The Holy Spirit had told her this. And she reached out to us and to her to ask the question, what am I missing? Because this is a doctrine that at least 85 to 95% of the church that believe in Yeshua, Jesus Christ, have been taught pertaining to the rapture. Oh, don't worry, you won't be here. You won't be here when all this stuff starts happening globally. That is the teaching that has been taught to between 80 and 90%. Could you imagine,
mm-hmm.
Evangelist Anita, could you imagine if your clergy, your man and woman of God that you have been paying your tithes and offering, giving your service and your talents to, and they have shared this with you, and then all of a sudden, all unheaven breaks loose. And it doesn't get better. It's not like, you know, there's a syncope in between it, but it continues to get worse. Are you going to think about, and how is your faith going to stand up and your relationship with your pastor going to stand up in light of that, honestly? I'd like your opinion.
My faith would be shot. I would be very angry with my pastor because of the fact that I would be expecting him to hear from God, and knowing what God's plan is, making sure I'm ready.
Exactly. Now, think about that from a global perspective. Now, when you start thinking about that from a global perspective, you can possibly see where this whole concept in Thessalonians, where Paul was talking to the congregation at the Hebraic congregation in Thessalonica, and he began to tell them that the Antichrist is not going to come until there be a great falling away first.
Mm-hmm.
But the falling away is going to become because of the lack of truth
mm-hmm.
that has been educated in the body of Christ. And when our spiritual husband, Yeshua, like it says in chapter 5 of Revelations, starts to open the seals, and then in chapter 6 of Revelations, when he opens the seals, the body of Christ is not even going to recognize that. Because, of course, they're going to think that this is Satan that's causing these things, that's allowing these things to happen.
Mm-hmm.
When, in fact, it's our husband saying, I need my bride to be ready. She needs to have two things. Number one, she needs to have all the requirements of a bride. And then she needs to make sure that she maintains her purity and her sanctity. That's why in Ephesians chapter 5, around 24, 25 to about 27, he says that Paul says that Yeshua is wanting to bring not any church, but the one true church without spot or blemish. That means the bride that's in these churches around the world. And if you don't know the requirements, and as the plagues start to get more transparent, and if your clergy doesn't have the answers, the true answers, and how to apply it, it could be quite hectic, would you not say?
Yes, sir. Very hectic.
Oh, all right. So now we're going to jump back into our message.
Okay.
Yeshua gave the mandate. When he gave that mandate, that was the very word that Satan heard. Satan heard Yeshua say, let's go on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever Satan hears, and he is definitely listening, whenever he hears the mandate of God in your life and in my life, hell stands up and goes on an attack against you and against me. Ever they hear the word of God, the purpose of God for you, Satan goes on an attack. Because with the purpose of God comes the blessing of God. And the blessings of God for you, the adversary has held back. The blessings of God for me, the adversary has held back. And as we begin to walk circumspect, as we begin to walk right, as we begin to be obedient of God's recommendations, then the blessings have to come. It doesn't matter where they were or if they've gotten lost or if Satan has them guarded by a multiplicity of demons, or if he's put curses on your life or your family tree. When we walk obedient, when we take the faith of the word that the Father has given us and deposited within us, and then we act on it. Okay, if you're not taking notes, this is a good time to take note of what I just said. You need to act on it. Now, what does Christendom say? Christendom says what? You need to speak on it.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to act on it first and foremost. Your words have to comply with the actions that you're already exhibiting. Not say the word and then wait for your actions to be obedient. If you do the latter of what I just said, you will fail miserably and wonder why God doesn't love you or care about you.
Amen.
Do the latter. You will suffer tremendous consequences. We are in a time and a place and a season where every disobedience to the feast of God will cause traumatic consequences traumatic consequences. We don't have time to debate. Years pass, individuals would debate theology, they would debate tenets of faith, they would debate doctrines. And to a degree, it's healthy. But when God steps up and says, enough, as a young man, I only recall, literally, and I mean this not sarcastically, I only recall one, and I'm just going to get real southern on you because I am from the South, although it doesn't seem like it. I only got one butt whooping from my father. Now, I've gotten many butt whoopings from my mama. All right? But I only got one butt whooping from my father. All right? And that butt whooping was in an indelible print upon my dairy air. You understand what I'm saying? I know there's children listening, so I'll try to be nice about it. Okay? And one of the things I learned through that pain of that butt whooping, because he only hit me one time, and I mean that. I'm not being sarcastic. He hit me one time. And my brain cells began to operate in a level that I have never seen in my entire life. And they began to begin to have a discussion. And they said, we don't ever, in this life or the next life, want to fulfill that much pain going through our body. So they had a unanimous decision, unanimous. The decision was unanimous. We shall be obedient unto death. Whatever he says, we will do whether we like it or not. And that's exactly what I did. And I never got another butt whooping from him to this day. Because I was extremely, but what my opinion about whatever it was that he said, it didn't matter. Because I refused to go through that much excruciating pain going riveting throughout my body. And believe it or not, life was very good. We are in that manner of a state of being where the Father has stepped up the activity of obedience. He has reached the macro. Now, some of you may have not never heard that term, but it's, you know, a strategic business type of term pertaining to the micro, meso, and macro levels of business. Well, God's business has reached the macro level. And the faith that he imparts in you and I is still the self-same faith, but the magnitude of the blessings from your obedience have grown greater. Just in the same sense as the magnitude of your disobedience, the punishments have grown greater in your life and in the life of your family. I remember that my father and our discussions were very brief. He didn't deliberate as much. And the reason why was because he was a man of action. So he would tell you, and if you did not do it, then you would suffer the reaction of that disobedience. There wasn't this 1, 2, 3, get in the corner, count, you know, and all that kind of stuff. It was, this is what I want you to do. Go ahead and execute. If you didn't execute, then he would execute the punishment. And I quickly began to realize this and quickly began to comply. And I realized as I comply with him, it became very easy. The blessing became a multitude of anointing upon me through him because of that. And my attitude about whether I liked it or not really didn't matter. We are at that place. you'll begin to see for those that are not walking in Torah, that are not walking in the anointing, you'll begin to see. And very few individuals will have to tell you what is that or what is this or what is that. Like I did with my first and only disciplinary action by my father, I figured it out. I understood. Yeshua gave them a mandate. If they did not obey that mandate, the adversary would win. But Yeshua slept in the back part of the boat, not just because he was tired, but because it was a test to see what the disciples would do with the faith that was given them. The question that we are going to have to answer throughout this year is, what are we going to do with the faith that is going to be given to us this year? We are going to either see great and fantastic victories, or we're going to see tragedies and chaos and curses like we've never felt or sensed in our life. As we go through this study, beloved, I want you to understand this, but whether you do or not, trust me on this one. The disciplines will help you understand. The disciplines, the punishments, will help you get a clear and concise understanding from a multiple levels of sensations. The pain will help you understand. That's not God's desire. But I think he is coming to the point of being tired of our disobedience. He's coming to a point of being tired of us deliberating with him, arguing with him, trying to discuss certain things with him that truly don't add up. So please keep this in mind as we go through this study. It's extremely important. It is extremely, extremely important. Because Yeshua is in the giving them the mandate. He's making sure that who understands what he said, if any, to me. Who is he more concerned about making sure that they have a clear-cut understanding and know how to apply it?
His disciples, those that are with him.
That's right. Who did he say that we were going to go to the other side?
His disciples. He said we would go to the other side.
Did other individuals get in their boats and try to go to the other side with him?
Yes, they did.
Were they told to do that?
No, they were not.
You are absolutely correct. This is also a depiction of the church.
Amen.
There's few brides in the church. Yeshua is speaking to the bride to make sure that the bride understands, because the bride and only the bride is going to the other side. Others may try, Amen. But if they don't have the requirements and they don't have Yeshua in their boat, they have a relationship with Yeshua, but Yeshua doesn't have the pure relationship with them, they won't make it to the other side.
Amen.
No, this is not a doom and gloom. This is a reality check. Because others can say, well, Rabbi, you know, you sound very insensitive. No, it has nothing to do with insensitivity. Did Yeshua know that other boat owners were going to try to go with him?
Yeah.
Did he warn them and tell them, hey, there's a storm coming, you better not come because you are going to be shipwrecked?
No.
Did he say that?
No, sir.
But he knew they were coming, right?
Yes. Yes, sir.
And he knew there was going to be a storm, right?
Yes.
And he knew they were going to sink, and they weren't going to make it. And potentially some of them could have died. Is that correct? Potentially.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Is that correct? But who was Yeshua concerned with? Who was Yeshua concerned
with? His disciples.
Okay. I just want to make sure that the words that are not spoken but yet are there, I want to make sure that we all see those because that's there.
Yes.
That is right there. It's in plain sight, but it's not spoken.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure that we speak the words that are not spoken, but are in plain sight.
Amen.
Because we need to understand that the Father and Yeshua are concerned about our obedience. That is the bottom line. Continue to read.
Yes. Verse 36, King James Version, and again, that's Mark chapter 4. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose
there were what
a great...
Wait, Evangelist Janita, you're starting to stir something up here. They had sent away, who did they send away? Who did
he
send
away the multitude.
The multitude. So he said, don't follow me.
Yes, he did.
He sent them, go home.
He sure did.
Don't go this way.
Amen.
You're going to die. Your ship is not going to make it.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
I want to make sure now. I'm not trying to, fabricate anything here. There's too much here. Hey, there's too much here to even need to fabricate. Amen?
That's right. Amen.
There's
you
too
said it's
much
plain sight.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
It's in plain sight.
Mm-hmm.
It's in plain sight.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Continue to read.
Yes, sir. Verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was
Stop for a second. The ship is bigger than the little ships.
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
And there is water in the big ship.
Mm-hmm.
And the disciples in the big ship are concerned it's going to sink.
Correct.
What do you think has happened to all the little ships already?
They sunk
with people in it.
Yes.
And Jesus still asleep.
He sure is.
But did he know they were going to sink?
Yeah.
He sure did. I'm being a little bit more theatrical because I want to make sure you get this.
Mm-hmm.
Because the tenets of faith and the biblical mandate that Yah has for brides, if an individual is not a bride but wants to try to run with the brides, this will happen to them.
Amen.
Oh, now, Rabbi, you really picking now. You really picking. Evangelist Tanita, they say I'm picking.
Yes, they say you're picking, but it's the truth.
They say I'm picking. But guess what? I have a mandate by the Lord to be very truthful with the truth that I perceive that God gives me. And I say perceive because I could be wrong like any other pastor or minister or rabbi mm-hmm. or or clergy. But the word here is very clear. And this word amplifies what we are going through right now.
Yes.
The coronavirus does not care how we feel about anything, does it?
No, it does not.
It didn't ask our opinion about anything, did it?
No, it did not.
Its one goal is to violate your alveoli within your lungs and kill you.
Yeah.
Very simple. It doesn't care how you feel. It doesn't care what you say. It doesn't care what you think about it. It only desires to do one thing. Yeshua told them not to come. But he is not obligated or responsible for their disobedience.
Amen.
He was given an assignment. And that assignment was for those disciples. Even though one of them, he himself said, was a devil. He was given an assignment to them. So that made it very easy for him to sleep in the boat. Because he was definitely not in those little boats, was he?
That's right. His boat
he was in the assigned boat that God told him to use to go to the other side. We need to make sure that Yeshua is in our spiritual boat.
Amen.
Because if he is not in our spiritual boat, then we are lacking something, and we are lacking a requirement that is necessary for the body of Christ. We can call ourselves the body of Christ all we want, but if we lack the requirements, and then if we don't implement the tools, the spiritual tools that he's given me to be obedient to him, that even if he is in the boat with me, water is going to get in my boat.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Continue to read.
Yes. Verse 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose.
All right, stop. And stop for a second. Stop for a second. Now, do you think that maybe the ones in the little boat were crying out for Yeshua after seeing all the miracles he did on land, knowing that he could save them? They were crying out to Jesus? I guarantee you they were crying out.
Yeah.
When my dad pulled his belt out, I was crying out before he hit me at one time. I was crying. Well, yeah, no, Daddy, please. Don't do it. I was crying out.
Yeah.
And when he hit me, I was sure enough crying. Doing a different kind of crying. I wasn't crying out. I was out crying.
Amen.
Whatever crying that was in me was coming out. Pain and misery was on me. So the individuals in the little ship, I'm sure, were crying out.
Oh, yeah.
But they didn't have Yeshua in their boat.
Amen.
To save them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Were they believers in Yeshua?
Yes.
Were they trying to be followers of Yeshua?
Yes.
They sure were. Matter of fact, they were following him across to the other side.
Yes.
So there had to be a disconnect here. Because when the disciples woke him, now keep in mind, up until he started breathing, you know, H2O, Jesus would have still remained asleep while the boat was going down. You understand what I'm saying? Because as far as he was concerned, and this is important to understand, as far as he was concerned, it was finished. It was done. I taught my disciples. I educated my disciples. I told them what God told me to tell them. My job is done. That was his mindset. That was his mindset with them, and that was his mindset with the people in the little boats. Can you read?
Yeah. Verse 39, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?
Now, do you want to know the underlining statement that Jesus said that wasn't printed here? You ready? Why did you wake me up out of a good sleep? Why? I'm being sarcastic, but I'm sure he was a little bit determined about that too.
Amen.
But the reality is, what he was trying to get them to see is, I deposited faith in you. Now, I'm not trying to pick on some of the Pentecostal churches, because, you know, I've been through a lot of different congregations ourselves and picked up a lot of good rich nuggets, to include Pentecostal Word of Faith and Holiness.
Amen.
Okay, before God brought us here. Faith is not directly for you and me to shout. Now, yes, you can shout, and yes, it is a blessing to be able to shout. When I say shout, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, is when the Spirit of Yah comes upon you in such a way, and the joy of Yah comes upon you in such a way to where you inside begin to rejoice so spontaneously that externally you cut a dance or a step, you know, or you cry, or you show some type of outward of emotion of what is happening on the inside of you. Okay? That's what I mean by shout, when I say shout. Now, in this particular scenario, this was a very important lesson that Yeshua was trying to teach them. Every time that you have faith begin to manifest on the inside of you, talking about that mustard seed that he was referring to in the parable, okay, then the glory of Yah is ready to do something. The purpose of Yah in your life is ready to do something, or in your life for someone else is ready to do something. He's preparing you and priming you for a victory. Victories don't come without struggle. Victories don't come without a skirmish. Victories do not come without an opponent. You must have an opponent that you have won over in order for victory to be true victory.
Amen.
Oftentimes we call out for victory, but we don't know what we're actually calling for. We're calling for a fight. We're calling for a struggle. We're calling for a rumble. That's what we're calling for. Not directly, no. I understand that. But indirectly, every single time, the adversary is not going to say, okay, You have Jesus, so I'm going to leave you alone. No. The same storm that took out all of those little boats, because remember, not one little boat made it.
That's right.
Not one little boat made it to the other side. Only one boat, and that was the one that Jesus was in, was the only one that made it to the other side, and they felt opposition.
Amen.
They felt it. So much so that they woke Jesus up and said, "Don't you care about us? The little boats, they're gone. They're dead. Everybody's done. They're done."
Amen. Mm-hmm.
But we are here with you in this boat. I would rather get the verbal abuse and wake Jesus up than to be, you know, sinking without the boat and trying to swim.
That's right.
Just because I don't want to disrupt Yeshua. You understand?
Amen.
He's there. He's with you. He's in you so that you can use him. When you don't have enough faith, or when your faith is not acting in the manner in which, activated in the manner in which you should know how to have it to fulfill what it's supposed to fulfill,
mm-hmm.
then you call on Yeshua. That's what he's there for. That's what he's there for. Yeah, you might get a little reprimand, but hey, I'd rather get a reprimand than, you know,
mm-hmm.
than be going down, sinking down with the ship. That didn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. Could you go ahead and finish, please?
Yes. That was the last scripture, verse 40. Do you want me to
read
41?
That one more time. Yeah, read 41.
And he's, 40, he said unto them, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?"
Okay. We need to know what manner of man Yeshua is or was then and is now inside of us. Get a very sober relationship with him, so that we will know what he does for us individually. The macro level of this coronavirus is making us individually extremely uncomfortable.
Amen.
The disciples were extremely uncomfortable because the water was in the boat mm-hmm. and it was getting ready to sink the boat. And it was a larger boat than the little boats that were already sunk. And even with that, what did they do? They called upon the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It is better to have shame with the name of the Lord than without.
Amen.
Because his name is designed to rescue, to redeem, and to restore. Father, right now in the name of Yeshua, we give you thanks, and I thank you and glorify you for what you're doing in our lives and in my life. I thank you, Father God, that you are fulfilling your will and your purpose and your plan, and therefore we allow you to have your way. Yeshua, we call upon you, and we desire you right now. We desire you in our weakness, in our struggle against the enemy. We admit that there are times when the faith that you've given us, we did not appropriate that faith properly. We didn't utilize it in the manner in which it was supposed to be used. It was a tool that we thought was supposed to be designed for us to do something totally different than what you have designed that particular tool for. So, Father, in our ignorance pertaining to that understanding of that tool, we ask and pray right now that you, by way of your Son, Yahushua, that Jesus will come and save us, will come and rescue, but also to help us to understand the true essence of what a bride is without spot or blemish, so that when we call on you, qualified, unlike the little boats, to get all the way to the other side, is our prayer. In Yahushua's name, amen and amen. Evangelist Anita, if you could give our listeners some more information about us, some more information about our ministry and how to give tithes and offerings to our ministry at this time.
Okay. All right. Do you also want me to do the after Torah lesson, Reverend?
Yes. Yes. We'll do that at the very end.
Okay. All right. All right. So our information is for now. For those of you who are desiring to give tithes and offerings, in order to make giving more accessible, we have several options that we're making available to you. The first one is the Cash Mobile app. And to use the free Cash app, you're going to make your contributions by sending it to the following link, and that is https://cash.app/$BETH HEM. For U.S. mail, please mail your checks to Congregation Bethlehem, and that is 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704. You can also utilize our bank online bill pay feature, and you will enter in 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704 as the address. AC checks will be mailed directly to Bethlehem by your processing center. Just so you know, again, just as a friendly reminder, the feast day is the Passover, Pesach, which is April the 7th through the 8th. For those of you who would like to find out more information about the ministry, we have two websites that you can look at, refer to. The first one is www.bethashem.org. That's bethashem.org. We have a Facebook page, and that is www.facebook.com/Bethlehem Ministries. Of course, if you're having a desire to learn more of a Hebraic understanding, we have Zakkai University. We also refer to it as Zuhl College. Our classes will begin this new year on April the 30th. Again, weekly, we will right now be hosting our meetings online, and we send out a newsletter, a Hebraic newsletter, as well as a summary for the pre-week of the newsletter for the Parsha, and then we have our online services. So if you desire to become a part of our email address, just go to our web, submit a request. And I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi John.
Amen. And at this time, we're going to go ahead and do the after Torah blessing. Please keep in mind and understand the ramifications for this particular year is going to be like no other year. Years past, you were able to get away with not doing the feast or not doing all of the feast or that type of thing, and there weren't any repercussions, especially not on a global scale like what we have right now. Beloved, I just appeal to your sense of the Spirit of God and hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Not churches as in buildings per se, but churches as in individuals on a global scale. The first lady of the pastor of a particular church that called us is riveted through me what on a global scale is going to start happening this year when all of these seals start to become even more prolific and even more intrusive into the daily lives of all of the individuals on the earth, but especially the believers. You definitely don't have to take my word on this. And I won't even say I told you so, because I'm not into that. I'm into making sure that me and mine and anyone else that wants to adhere are being obedient to this time and this season that we find ourselves in. All right, Evangelist Sini, at this time, if you would go ahead and play the After Torah blessing, and then after that, we'll conclude the rest of this message.
Okay.
Baruch ata Yehua Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu torah emet, v'chaye olam nata b'chutnu. Baruch ata Yehua noten haTorah. Blessed are you, Yehua Aryah, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and set everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehua, giver of the Torah. Eres bendicido, Yehua nuestro Dios, rey del universo, no has dado la Torah de la verdad y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros. Se bendiga, Yehua, dador de la Torah.
And we embrace the Torah for relationship. That was Pastor Doug. He's another pastor that's within our core leadership of our congregation and what I would consider a cantor. And so, therefore, we have had him pre-record these before and after Torah blessings, both in Hebrew, in English, and I'm sure most of you picked up also in Spanish. We also are going to be having it also done in Portuguese, because we have a Portuguese following in Brazil, and we will be having that done with the help of Minister Adam and his wife Neil Flowers. So blessings to you and yours, and continue to seek for what you and I need to do to be obedient in this season and in this hour. Until next time, shalom, shalom.